The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We are rolling through the all 32 as we take a look at every single NFL team, or at least until we get to the Jaguars and then give up because nobody cares about them and Pete Prisco won't come on to talk about them. Make sure to download, subscribe, rate, review, five-star review. If you have a question about a specific team you want us to cover or any specific, you know, person you want to talk to or a question about a specific team, let us know and we'll dive into it. We have two more to go to wrap up the AFC East and NFC East in our first week of this series. And we're going to talk Jets with Manish Mehta at MMehtaNYDN on Twitter. Covers the Jets and, of course, the NFL as a whole for the New York Daily News. Manish, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Will. What's going on?
I'm good. I think the Jets, so I've sort of been kind of pounding the table. And I know you tweeted about Sam Darnold. Let's see, we're recording this on Thursday. Today is Friday, June 5th, when people are listening. We record on Thursday. I think on Wednesday you tweeted that Sam Darnold might be the best quarterback in the AFC East. And I know that, like, you like to sort of poke people with the Darnold tweets and all that, but I might agree with you. Like, say, or maybe he's just, he's the best, he's better than anybody on the Patriots. What was the tweet? I think there's some semblance of reality here that Sam Darnold is being overlooked in the ranking of the AFC East quarterbacks.
Well, I do think he's the best quarterback in the AFC East. Yesterday or earlier in the week, I should say, I was specifically referring to Darnold versus what Bill Belichick is working with this year and Jared Stidham and Hoyer. Look, I think he will ultimately be proven to be the best quarterback in the division. Clearly, Josh Allen and his team have had more success to this point, and I think that's going to continue, at least from a team standpoint. I think Buffalo is the best team in this division, and I know seeing is believing, but I believe that they will win the division this year. But just from a skill set standpoint, as a quarterback, I would take Darnold over Josh Allen, clearly over Stidham. Obviously, Tua is a question mark at this point, but he's got all the raw skills. I'm sure you've talked about it as well, Will. He's got a ton of potential. For me, the next step would be what can the play caller do for him, and what can his surrounding pieces around him do for him in terms of elevating his game to the next natural level?
Well, I mean, I think the pieces around him and the Adam Gase factor, like, are sort of what, maybe that's why people are not very bullish on the Jets heading into 2020. I mean, look, like, what, like, Minka Fitzpatrick traded, blows up. Ryan Tannehill traded, I think he won comeback player of the year. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Yeah, you know, and like, and then like Kenyon Drake traded, immediately becomes like a featured bell cow back on another team. It almost feels like everybody that Adam Gase, it's whatever the reverse Midas touch is. Does that, how, I mean, where are you at on Adam Gase? And do you, like, I mean, he had great success with Peyton Manning, but he hasn't done a whole lot elsewhere. I tend to think he's a smarter offensive mind than people are giving him credit for now, but the press conferences, all, I mean, it's such a weird thing with him that he would go to New York and be standoffish. I like, where do we stand on Adam Gase as it relates to sort of the fan base and with ownership?
Well, Will, you forgot about Devontae Parker having his
My guy too. Yeah.
Even Mike Gesicki had a pretty good second season as well without Gase. Look, it's a complicated question. I think if you look at this objectively, you have to divide Adam Gase's NFL career with Peyton Manning and without Peyton Manning. He's been in the NFL for 17 seasons in a number of different capacities, whether it was position coach, offensive coordinator, even scout in the beginning. He's only been a part of a winning culture, so a winning team, in four of those 17 seasons. So he's been surrounded by a lot of losing, whether it was San Francisco, Detroit, Chicago, Miami, and obviously most recently New York. He's had a great amount of success in three of those seasons with Peyton Manning. He's only been part of a winning organization once in his career, or two-decade career, without Peyton. So he's got a lot to prove in terms of trying to actually convince people that he can be a winning piece to the formula without arguably one of the top five quarterbacks in the history of football. So he's 30-35 as a head coach for a reason. He's 9-24 on the road as a head coach for a reason. His offenses without Peyton Manning, I believe, were something like 24, 25, 27, 31, and most recently dead last, 32nd. So that's a fair concern. And I think the reason, in fact, I know the reason the Jets hired him was to bring out the best in Sam Darnold, because they believed that he had the skill set to do that. And I'm with you, Will, in that I believe that he has good ideas. He's not a dummy. I tend to take less stock in the press conferences than maybe the average fan does. Yeah, they're unusual. He's a peculiar guy, mercurial guy. But that doesn't have anything to do, in my opinion, with how good or bad of a coach he is. I think the results speak for themselves. And he did not bring out the best in Darnold last year. Excuse me. Now, Darnold had incremental improvement, but it wasn't that seismic leap that people were hoping for from year one to year two, much like we saw in Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen has a lot of room to grow, but he clearly made progress in year two. With Darnold, more of a mixed bag. So that's why people are wondering, can he make that significant jump from year two to year three?
Yeah, I mean, the press conference thing is like, it's probably overblown. It's just, you can't go to, like, I mean, you know this as well as anybody, because you've covered the Jets for a really long time. Like, if you go to New York and you're an a-hole, you better win. Because if you don't, you're getting, like, I mean, if you go to New York and you show up with a baseball cap on and pull it over your eyes, and then you're like staring at the taco Titanic thing. I mean, it's like a meme and it's not real, but it's like, it does sort of feel like that's what happened, you know?
Yeah, look, I think there's some inherent securities that he has, and I'm not a psychologist by any stretch of the imagination. But the bottom line is production. I think one of the most underplayed elements of Adam Gase as a head coach is not about X's and O's. It's about leadership. And I think there is a leadership void with him. I do not believe that he is a good enough leader to succeed. Now, he has good leaders around him. He has some strong people around him, at least from a football coaching standpoint. Greg Williams is a guy who dealt with a lot of similar things on the defensive side of the ball last year, but the defense was extremely productive. You know, it wasn't a top five defense by any stretch, but he dealt with losing the quarterback of his defense, C.J. Mosley, for the majority of the season. And the Jets, I don't want to say didn't miss a beat, but they were clearly an extremely efficient unit on that side of the ball. And again, he's got a young, talented quarterback who I think can also perhaps mask some of the coach's deficiencies. But leadership is a real question. And I think if you're being honest with yourself in that building, you know that there are some leadership issues with this guy. And I don't think they were solved at all based on the information that I got behind the scenes. I don't think he solved any of that, frankly. I don't think he learned much from what happened in Miami. And that was a concern, Will, going from one head coaching job, fired after three seasons, immediately to becoming a head coach again without having a year or so to kind of learn from your mistakes, perhaps as a coordinator somewhere else. He got that other job right away. I think that emboldened him, to think that, hey, what I was doing in Miami wasn't wrong. The problem was with the Dolphins, not with me. And I think that manifested itself, frankly, with what happened with him in the Jets last season.
I think we've seen that a lot, and it's weird. Like, coaches almost don't get that. Not that, like, you shouldn't take a head coaching job, because they're rare. They're hard to get. I mean, there's only 32 of them. Like, some of these dudes will hold on to these forever. I mean, Bill Belichick's been doing it for 20 years. But, like, Chip Kelly when he went to the 49ers. Rex Ryan when he went to the Bills. It's like, just take a year off. Like, reset. Like, you're rich. You're going to get another job. Like, you're showing that you can clearly get another job. It's almost better to, like, hit the pause button, take a step back, sort of reevaluate what you're doing. And you're right. Like, Adam Gase didn't have time to do that because he immediately took the Jets job in the same division, with a team that, and a franchise that just hasn't been stable ever really. And I feel bad for him in a sense, because, like, Sam Darnold getting mono. I mean, that's the most preposterous storyline on the planet. And this team did play well down the stretch, but Manish, when you look at the depth chart, I mean, I believe in Darnold. I just have questions about whether this offense can take a big step forward based on the weapons around him.
I agree. I thought one of the missteps that Joe Douglas made this offseason was not retaining Robbie Anderson, not because I think Robbie Anderson's an all-pro player. You know, he hasn't made an all-pro team, hasn't been a pro bowler, but because he was an ascending young player who was developing a rapport with your most indispensable asset, the quarterback. So he and Darnold were developing something good, and you could see that. I've watched every snap that the quarterback has made since he came into the NFL and every snap that Robbie Anderson has played since he came into the NFL, and something good was happening there, and they did not allow that to continue because they did not want to pay an extra, you know, $3-4 million, whatever it ended up being. And they brought in Breshad Perriman. And look, if you play fantasy football, you remember Breshad Perriman's December. He probably won you some fantasy leagues, right?
Yeah.
So he was extremely effective in the last month, in the most recent month of his career. However, the prior 3 or 4 years were a complete bust. And I don't even think that Breshad Perriman would debate that. So he is an unknown. I don't know what he is going to be for the Jets this year. He signed on a 1-year deal. It's essentially a trial season for him. You've got Denzel Mims, who I do like. He is a rookie, so you do have to manage your expectations. I think he can be an important contributor for Darnold in the long run, but I don't know what you're going to get out of 2020. Jamison Crowder, to me, was exceptional as a slot guy. I'm with you. I think that, you know, I don't know if there's adequate weaponry, not only in the skill position players, but the offensive line as well. It's a whole new offensive line, 4 new starters. It's an unusual offseason, so these guys did not have an opportunity in the spring to at least start to lay the foundation as a unit. They're going to have to do that in training camp, so it's going to be kind of a crash course. And we probably buried the lead, Will. We have not talked about how incredibly poor Le'Veon Bell was deployed last year.
Yeah.
Was it
the Monday night game against the Browns where, who was starting? Was it Fails? David Fails starting?
Trevor Siemian
starting. They were like, all right, look, we got nothing. We're just going to run Le'Veon Bell into the middle of the line like 400 times and just hope that he breaks one.
Yeah. And that was another failure on Gase's part. I mean, you have a player who arguably was the best running back in the NFL when he last played in Pittsburgh. And I think his final game in Pittsburgh was a playoff game against Jacksonville, in which he had 150 total yards and 3 touchdowns. So he clearly had it when he came to the Jets. I know he took a year off for financial reasons, but,
sure.
He averaged, I think it was 3.2 yards a carry. Le'Veon Bell is not necessarily a home run hitter, but he's not a 3.2 yards per carry type of back. I don't think he was used properly at all. He clearly was not the focal point of the offense for the majority of the season. And in fact, that kind of traces back to what happened in free agency. Adam Gase did not want Le'Veon Bell. It did not have anything to do with the money initially until word got out that he didn't want Bell. And then he kind of changed the narrative or attempted to change the narrative behind the scenes by saying he did not want to pay that kind of money for a running back. And I don't discount that at all. He didn't want to pay that kind of money for a running back. That being said, in a vacuum, he did not want to restructure his offense to run through a running back. That's not what he does. He likes running backs by committee. He likes to spread the wealth. He likes an offense to be very much like a basketball team in which you have 4 or 5 different options. You saw that in Denver. You've seen that really every step along the way. He doesn't want the running back to be the focal point. And he, you know, basically had to do that because the general manager and the owner wanted to bring in Bell. And you clearly saw that it did not work last year. This is going to be Le'Veon Bell's last year with the Jets before he gets cut and his guaranteed money runs out after this season. So I will be very interested to see if there's a true commitment on the head coach's part to at least get this very talented player more involved in the right way.
All right, well, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will discuss some Jets defense. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting,
taking the entire family on an adventurous trip. Maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
On the Jamal Adams thing, so he wants a new contract. There have been trade rumors for, let's say 12 to 18 months now, it feels like. He actually came on the podcast at the Super Bowl, and I was just struck talking to him. Like he is, I don't get why the Jets don't want to pay him, because again, they have no one on the roster that's any good that they can actually pay. I mean, you can't even pay Sam Darnold, right? I mean, like right. you literally are not allowed to pay Sam Darnold. You've whiffed on all these draft picks, and you have Jamal Adams, who clearly is a locker room leader. He's an all pro player. Now, granted, he doesn't play a premier position, but he's such an impactful guy. Why are the Jets doing this? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Well, it's a multi-layered question with a multi-layered answer. Sure. I think it'll start at the top. A lot of people praised Joe Douglas for doling out these, relatively cheap / affordable contracts in free agency. A lot of one-year deals or de facto one-year deals. And he did that because of the guidance, or I guess the parameters that were put in place by ownership. Mm. Ownership did not want to spend a lot of cash this year. And so Joe Douglas works around it as best as he can. So it's not as if Douglas was this incredibly shrewd negotiator who did not want to dole out these big money contracts. He just simply could not do it.
He's like, hey, look, here's what my boss is giving me.
Now, look, he's not going to say that publicly. In fact, sure. I've asked him about that publicly because there clearly was a cash flow issue this year. He's not going to throw ownership under the bus. I totally understand that. But the reality is that was the situation that he was dealing with. So under that umbrella, you have to think if Jamal Adams gets a big contract, he's obviously going to get a fairly sizable signing bonus. And you're going to have to pay that money up front. And cash always matters more than cap. Fans get caught up in salary cap space. Can we get this there? Because we have X amount of dollars in the cap left. Anybody who knows anything about the NFL and how it's structured knows that cash matters much more than cap. And that's what comes down to the ownership's willingness. It comes down to their desire to spend money this year upfront, real money, cash. And that's, that's not the case with the Jets. Their ownership is not allowing them to do that this year. Now, my understanding is that ownership has given the front office assurances that things will be different next year. We'll find out.
We've talked about this in our podcast with Adam Beasley on the Dolphins and Matthew Fairburn on the Bills. Tom Brady's departure matters. Unfortunately, for Adam Gase, there's everybody who is not, the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills all of a sudden feel like they have a window to rush in and steal the AFC East for the first time in 20 years. Whether that's real or not, it doesn't matter, because there's an expectation from ownership and the fan base that they should do something like that.
No, absolutely. And look, publicly, I don't think you're going to get very many coaches saying that. In fact, I think coaches will say the exact opposite. They want to temper expectations, of course. You mentioned a good point, Will, about losing the locker room. And then last year people said, look, they started off 1-7. I think they finished 5-2. Technically the record books will say they finished 6-2, but they won a de facto preseason game in week 17 against the Bills JV team.
That's right. That's fair.
A game, by the way, in which the Bills at one point lined up a wide receiver at cornerback because their second stringers got hurt, and it was an obvious preseason game.
And they only won 13-6, by the way. They didn't
the Bills. So I look at the 2019 season as a 6-9 season. History obviously remember them as a 7-9 season. The bottom line, unless things change dramatically, is that Adam Gase is viewed inside that locker room as the offensive coordinator. Every defensive player of consequence that I have talked to privately has said they view Greg Williams as their leader, as their head coach. There's a clear divide in that team, offense and defense. I'm not saying they're fighting, that not at all. They support each other. But if you talk to defensive players, they're not looking at Adam Gase as their leader. They look at Greg Williams as their leader. I don't believe that's going to change. I don't believe there's going to be any kind of anarchy. It only because the defensive players believe in Greg Williams. Now, I will also tell you that players on both sides have told me, a lot of interesting things about their head coach, things that they will not tell people publicly. And there's a reason why I say that he is not a good leader. That's not something that I wake up in the morning and think up in my mind. That's coming from people inside the organization. And I think that's telling. And again, he has an opportunity to change that every day he wakes up. He has an opportunity to change that this year. We'll see if he takes advantage of that opportunity.
I still can't get past the fact that he told everybody he skipped Thanksgiving with his family, and then he went out and got like stomped by the Bengals.
And yeah, look, he is an unusual person. And again, yeah. I am not a psychologist. There are many things that I know about him that aren't things that I'm willing to share.
Sure.
But he's a very unusual person. And I think that's probably the simplest, most accurate way of putting it.
All right. I could talk to you about Adam Gase for all day long. Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News. Thank you so much for taking the time. Awesome stuff as always. Make sure and read him, at the New York Daily News. You will read something about Adam Gase at some point in this coming season. I can promise you that. I follow him at M Mehta NYDN on Twitter. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate it. Take care.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.